Before William shares the scripture today, I want to have a prayer of illumination. Please join me in prayer. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds that as the scripture is read and your word proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture is from 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Just a quick word of introduction. Paul has been corresponding with the church in Corinth. He's been working with them. It seems like there's a lot of problems, divisions, controversies, but he never gives up on them. Matter of fact, he does some of his best writing and some of his best ministry as he just sticks in there with them. And so he comes to the close of this particular letter, and he has something very special to share with them. It's a blessing, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, the Trinitarian benediction. Paul writes, "So I write these things while I am away from you, so that when I come, I may not have to be stern in using the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to ask you a question. When you're writing a letter to a friend, do you have a special way that you conclude your letter? In other words, you're wrapping things up, you're almost ready to sign your name, and then you just want to say one little special thing. Is it sincerely? Is it truly yours? Is it take care? Is it see you later? Well, I'm sure you give it some thought, because it's usually the last thing that we say that truly can leave a blessing with people, that can kind of solidify the relationship that we have with one another. I know it can become perfunctory, but for me it's becoming very, very special. And how I finish a conversation, how I finish a visit, how I finish a letter. And I've learned a lot from Paul and how he finishes a letter. He finishes this letter with what we call the Trinitarian benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God Almighty, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the benediction that I'll actually share with you today. I've shared it before. We've heard it numerous times, and perhaps you did not know that this particular benediction comes from the epistle to the Corinthians. Now, it's called the Trinitarian benediction because Paul invokes the name of God and Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Bible, there's not even, the word Trinity is not even mentioned. There's not really a doctrine spelled out. The Trinitarian doctrine is a part of the wisdom of the church as we come to understand who God is. The Trinitarian doctrine, you've heard of it before. One person called it the mathematics of theology, which kind of leaves all of us confused and kind of puzzled and kind of dry. There's not much life in it. God in three persons, the three in one, the one in three. We say it so, glibly, it doesn't have a lot of life in it, but that it's there's one God, but one God in three persons. God is God the Father. God is God the Son. God is God the Holy Spirit. There's only one God. Now, the three persons are distinct from one another. God the Father is not God the Son. God the Son is not the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is not God the Father. You see, it can get really, really, really kind of confusing here. But there's something at stake here. You see, the Trinitarian doctrine does not exist to explain the mystery of the triune God. The Trinitarian doctrine exists to help preserve the mystery of who God is. The God who revealed himself to Abraham, the God who revealed himself to Jacob and to Isaac and to Moses, the great I Am, the one whose name was so holy it was not to be pronounced, the one who revealed himself to the prophets, the God who revealed himself through Jesus Christ, is the God in the Bible whom we have come to know as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The most significant thing that I can share with you about the Trinity, and by the way, whether or not we can explain it, we practice it. We have hymns, holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We affirm our faith. I believe in God the Father, the Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We have prayers. Polly prayed the prayer of illumination. Did you hear it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Did you hear it? Did you know that each of us were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and we've been sent to go forth to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? It's a part of our practice as the Christian community. But here's the most important thing that I can share with you about this Trinitarian doctrine. And by the way, today is Trinity Sunday. The most important thing is that God is a God of relationships. God is one, but God is a God of relationships. As we see with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son reveals to us who God is. And God sends the Holy Spirit who points to who Jesus is. And there's this circle. The most important thing I can say about the doctrine of the Trinity is about relationships and about this. It's about the God that we believe in who is at work in the world and in our lives for good. Creating, redeeming, sustaining. The God who is at work in this world for peace and for justice. The God who is at work in this life for good. And so when Paul's getting ready to finish this letter, he wants to bless the people in Corinth really good. And I admire Paul for this. Because you see, this wasn't about him. Even though his very authority as an apostle had been put in jeopardy. Paul had every opportunity to walk away from this particular church, but he stuck with them because this wasn't just about him. This was about the kingdom of God, about things that are eternal and important. And he knew that how he closed that letter was going to be particularly important to the ones who would read it. And by the way, they would read it in the assembly of the people called the church. And so he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." He basically lifts up this grand thought that the God that we have come to believe in and to know as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the God who seeks to bless us. The God who seeks to bless us so that we can be a blessing. And so I think it's particularly meaningful that when he thought about the blessing that God wants to give us, Paul lifted out three words that are so very important. It kind of covers it all in a way. He mentions grace. He mentions love. He mentions fellowship. And I want to say a word about what that blessing means to me, to you, what this blessing can mean to people. Grace. In a world that's hard and harsh, grace is about acceptance. Grace is the unmerited favor. The thing that you have not deserved, but yet you have received. It's like life itself. We are ungenerated persons. We did not produce ourselves. Our lives are a gift. When we wake in the morning, the first breath is gift. When we go to sleep, we breathe without even knowing it, and all that is gift. We're like fish in the water. We're Christians who know that we live in the midst of God's grace all around us. So he prays the blessing that you may know gift. We may talk about gift in the sense that Jesus is our gift. Because on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The forgiveness that Christ gives is a gift. Matter of fact, we are people who we don't stand on our rights. We merely declare our blessings. We are a gifted people. All that we have is a gift. When we come to understand that, we understand the basis of the Christian life. It's all gift. Everything that we have, it's all gift. And you don't have to earn it, deserve it. So he prays, "The grace of Jesus Christ be with you." He prays, "The love of God be with you." Now the word love is used so much, but I want to say a special little word about the love of God. The love of God is different than anything we could ever imagine. In the Bible, we see the story of the God who enters into covenant relationship with us and expresses a love for us that is unconditional, that is steadfast. You hear it over and over and over again. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It is the embrace of the Father when his son came home. And he said, "Quickly, bring out a robe, put it on him, and get sandals, put it on his feet, and a ring on his finger, and get that fatted calf. Let us kill it and eat and celebrate." And it's the love that won't let us go, even when we turn our back on God. It is the kind of love that is strong. I love what Paul writes in the 8th chapter of Romans. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from this love of God." That kind of love is your security. Your security, my security, is not in ourself or our wealth or what we can accomplish, but in the fact that we are loved by God, who was and is and always shall be, as Paul writes, for us. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Wow. And then the word fellowship. Now, we're in a fellowship hall right now. What happens to the word fellowship is we use it so much, we have to step back and go, okay, what are we really talking about? The Greek word is koinonia. It has to do with shared life, the shared life that we have together. And when Paul talks about, "May you know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit," what Paul is talking about is, may you know that you always belong. You always belong to a family. You always have a place at the table. You don't have to go it alone. There are persons who will surround you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are gifts. They will surround you. But even Paul writes about that cloud of witnesses that surround you. Those who have run the race before you, who are cheering you on and cheering me on now. We don't live our life by ourselves. We have the gift of community. Thank God I am only the person that I have become because of the gift of the people God has surrounded me with and who have poured into my life and have taught me and molded me. So many people don't have a place of true belonging. And so what Paul is doing is he's saying, you know, we've got to stop this quarreling. We've got to get back to the basics of life. We've got to be the church that God wants us to be. And I want you to remember that you have been given these blessings. Now, in the face of knowing that you have been blessed, how then do you want to live your life? And what Paul is really hoping is that they'll want to live their life from now on being a blessing to others and to the world. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Benediction, the word benediction means good word. It really has become one of my favorite parts of a worship service. Because before you leave here, you receive a benediction. You receive a good word spoken over you to take with you so that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you may live with that blessing. You may live with the understanding that you have grace. You may live with the understanding that you have love. You may live with the understanding that you have fellowship. And in the midst of your life struggles, the knowledge of God's grace for you, Jesus' grace and God's love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, can turn your day around. And what Paul was hoping for was that when this church received that blessing, they would in turn be a blessing. And so when we leave here, having received a benediction, a good word spoken over us, it's for us, but it's also for us to share. Will we meet anybody this week who needs a word of grace, a bit of forgiveness, a second chance, a bit of kindness, a bit of mercy? Will we encounter any situations in which we should look around and say, what would it be like to help bring the grace of Christ into this situation, into this environment? And in this coming week, what would it mean to model the love of God for someone? One of the things that I was told when I first began teaching disciple in prison was this: the most important thing that you can do is not what you say or what you teach, but the fact that you do not let these women down. You be there every week, because then you will model before them love, which probably has never been modeled before them. They've learned to expect broken promises. They've learned to expect love that was spoken but not modeled. But when you demonstrate the faithfulness of your love, that's what will change them. What about that? Where could we model that kind of love to others? And then fellowship. So often, I think people are hungry for the place at the table. I think people are hungry for a welcome, for a bit of inclusion. I think people are hungry for a place to belong. And so, this coming week, we have the opportunity not only to live with this benediction, but to give this benediction out. And so today, what good word do you need spoken over you? Polly and I will be glad to pray with you about you hearing that word. Because you need to leave here today with a good word spoken over you. Do you know of a situation where you need to speak a good word? Polly and I will pray over you about a way that you could possibly express that word. So whether it's a word that you need spoken over you or something that you know you need to speak over others, you're welcome to come. But no one leave here today without receiving the benediction. Let us stand.